Ja, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni lahko več. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Jo, v današnjem kultivatorju se bomo posvetili torej dogovoru, ki ga je včeraj naznanil britanski premier Keir Starmer. V okviru tega dogovora se bo pa Združeno kraljestvo torej ne bo se, ne, ampak bo nadzorovalo otočje Chagos in to, ta, zapletla sem se. Združeno kraljestvo bo torej svoj nadzor nad otočjem Chagos, ki ga je imelo do zdaj, predalo Mauriciju, to je fora. In dogovor bi moral Starmer podpisati z mauricijskimi predstavniki, ampak je britansko višje sodišče samo nekaj ur pred predvidenim podpisom predajo začasno ustavilo. Zdaj po ponovnem zaslišanju je sodišče potem odpravilo odredbo in dejansko omogočilo sprejetje dogovora. Po tem sporazumu bo pa nadzor nad otočjem, kot rečeno, že po moje tretjič, oziroma kot smo hotel, prevzel Maurici. Združeno kraljestvo po drugi strani bo od mauricijskih oblasti najemalo ameriško-britansko vojaško bazo na otoku Diego Garcia za v povprečju okoli 120 milijonov evrov letno za naslednjih 99 let. In zdaj za analizo dogovora in predstavitev dogodkov, ki so britansko vlado povedali do predaje nadzora, se mi je pridružil tim iz aktualno-politične redakcije. Tim, pozdravljen.
Živjo. Ja, torej otočje Chagos v bistvu sestavlja 7 atolov in pa vsega skupaj okoli 60 otokov, s tem, da je največji ta otok Diego Garcia, ki si ga ti že omenila. In zdaj, površina samega kopnega je tukaj samo okoli 50 oziroma 55 kvadratnih kilometrov, medtem ko, če upoštevamo še vodo in pač oceane in morje, pridemo do okoli 15 tisoč kvadratnih kilometrov. Zdaj, sam otok oziroma otoče leži okoli 2000 km severovzhodno od prestolnice Mauricija Port Louis, sam Mauricij pa že leži okoli 1000 km stran od Madagaskarja. In zdaj, če predstavimo še malo na hiter zgodovino otoče, ki je bil, mislim, samo otoče je bilo v bistvu francoska kolonija med leti 1715 in 1814, ker Francozi so sprva naselili dva otoka v bližini, se pravi Reunion in pa Maurici, in okoli leta 1770 so začeli izdajati dovoljenje, da lahko prihaja prebivalstvo oziroma da lahko prihajajo delavci po večini sužnji, na, delati na plantaže kokosa oziroma pač, da delajo kokosovo olje. Leta 1786 je na to Združeno kraljestvo v bistvu to otoče razglasilo za svoje lastno in dejansko pa je nadzor nad tem otočem prevzelo šele po Napoleonovem porazu leta 1814 in po podpisu Pariškega sporazuma. Samo otoče pa so nadzirali iz Mauricija, ki so ga tudi prevzeli po Pariškem sporazumu in tako je bilo v bistvu okoli 150 let, dokler se Maurici ni začel osamosvajati in dokler tudi Chagos ni, v bistvu otoča Chagos niso preklasificirali.
Se pravi, leta 65, ne, si nekako omenil, da je prišlo do tega. 60 let nazaj torej je prišlo do nekih večjih sprememb, do poskusa osamosvajanja Mauricija. Kaj točno se je takrat dogajalo?
Ja, se pravi, to obdobje druge polovice 20. stoletja je nekako obdobje osamosvajanja in pa dekolonizacije afriških držav. V tem času je velik afriških držav pridobilo pač neodvisnost ali od Francije, Združenega kraljestva oziroma katerekoli kolonizatorke. In to isto velja tudi za Maurici, ki se je osvobodil britanskega nadzora, mislim, da leta 1968. Ampak 10 let predtem so Američani v bistvu prepoznali Diego Garcia kot otok Diego Garcia kot idealnega za vojaško bazo, ker v tem času se je pač ameriški imperij širil in vojaške baze so igrale pri tem zelo pomembno vlogo. In zakaj je bil popoln za vojaško bazo? Zaradi tega, ker je na otoku v tistem času živel med 1500 in 2000 ljudi in zaradi, pač to, ta argument je bil velikrat slišan, neke strateške lege, ker otoče leži v Indijskem oceanu, blizu Indije in pa pač med Afriko in Indijo nekje. Ne? In leta 1960 je Združeno kraljestvo otoče preklasificiralo v britansko ozemlje v Indijskem oceanu, s čimer so v bistvu ustanovili novo kolonijo v času pač dekolonizacije. In to je bila tudi, mislim, da zadnja britanska kolonija, ki so jo ustanovili. In leta 1965 so se Britanci dogovorili z Mauricijem, da se ta osvobodi pod pogojem, da prepusti nadzor nad otočjem Britancem. In to se je res zgodilo, pač Mauricij je prepustil nadzor, ampak kot so predstavniki opozarjali, v bistvu ene, ko se ponovno govori o tem, da bo Velika Britanija prevzela nadzor, prepustila nadzor nad otočjem, je, da Mauricij takrat ni imel nobene prave moči, da bi se uprl Združenemu kraljestvu in da predaja tega otoča ni temeljila na neki svobodni in pa pristni volji prebivalcev Mauricija. In je bil, hkrati so pa obljubili Britanci tudi prebivalcem oziroma predstavnikom Mauricija, da bodo vojaško bazo in pa otoče Chagos vrnili Mauriciju, ko ta ne bo več potreben za neke vojaške in pa obrambne namene. In zdaj, kako je Chagos postal najnovejša britanska kolonija, pojasni Chris Monahan, ki je profesor prava na univerzi v Worcesteru.
The 1960s were in an age of decolonization and Mauritius wants independence. It has its own government, albeit under colonial control. And in the 1960s, the UK still has a global footprint, but is pursuing a policy of drawing UK kind of military activity away from the Pacific and Indian Ocean into the Med and the Atlantic. And so Britain and America reach an agreement whereby Britain will allow America to build a joint military base on Diego Garcia. Now, this is the largest island as part of the Chagos Archipelago. So Diego Garcia, it can house a harbour and it's got room for quite a large military airport. So at this time, Mauritius was a British colony. Now, Britain, as a matter of UK constitutional law, the government is able, using the King's reserve powers, the prerogative, to divide up UK colonial territory. So the UK legally could have unilaterally detached the Chagos Islands from its colony of Mauritius. However, in international law and under the UN, under agreements, you couldn't chop up and kind of move around colonial territory prior to independence. So Britain and Mauritius reached an agreement in November 1965, whereby the Mauritian government, and I would emphasize it was a Mauritian government of a British colony. So that's very important about the negotiation strength of the Mauritian government, that Mauritius would agree for the UK to transfer the Chagos Islands from Mauritius to create a brand new separate British colony in 1965.
Kako pa je prevedel do tega oziroma kaj so Britanci naredili, da lokalnega prebivalstva tam ni zares?
Ja, se pravi, Američani so to otoče opredelili kot idealnega zaradi tega, ker je bilo na njem samo pač 2000 ljudi. Ne? In leta 1966 so ZDA pripravile sporazum o de facto zakupu otokov od Združenega kraljestva, s čimer bi pač Amerika najela otoče za začetno obdobje 50 let z možnostjo podaljšanja za nadaljnjih 20. In to možnost so leta 2016 tudi izkoristili in imajo tako otoče v lasti oziroma v najemu do leta 2036. In zdaj na otoku je, ko pač so se odločili za izgradnjo vojaške baze, živelo okoli 2000 ljudi, ki so jih v štirih fazah prisilno izselili iz otoče. In te faze so potekale med leti 1967 in 1973. V prvi fazi so oblasti preprečile vstop, ponoven vstop na otoče, če so se tamkajšnji prebivalci odločili, da recimo grejo na pač počitnice oziroma na dopust izven otokov ali pa na nek zdravniški pregled recimo na Maurici, in to so naredili brez kakršnega koli obvestila. Se pravi, dejansko so prebivalci so se en dan odločili oditi in naslednji dan jim ni bila omogočena vrnitev.
Zlomaš si roko in pač si izseljen.
Ja, oboje okay. V dveh dneh in si tako sam super.
Super, ja.
Ja. In zdaj, če to ni dost, da ima zlomljeno roko in si pač brez stalne naselitve, so za tiste, ki pa so ostali, tudi uvedli embargo na nekatere ključne zaloge hrane. Tako da so v bistvu res otežili življenje pač vsem, ki so se odločili ostati, in potem so to še stopnjevali z nekimi psihičnimi, mislim, pač ja, nekimi grožnjami oziroma kasneje potem tudi z dejanji, tako da so na prebivalce streljali, jih zastrupili, pač zažigali hiše in mislim, da tudi pobijali njihove domače živali. In tako so prišli do v bistvu četrte faze, ki je bila, da so prebivalstvo, ki se je kljub vsemu temu odločilo ostati tam, da so jih preprosto naložili na ladje in ga preselili na Maurici in pa na Sejšele. In zdaj niso kljub, mislim, dali so jih na ladje in jih preselili, jih izselili, in niso jim omogočili nobene pomoči finančne ali kakršne koli druge pri ponovni naselitvi, tako da so živeli tudi, kamorkoli so se preselili, pač v zelo slabih pogojih. Recimo na Mauriciju pa so bili tudi velikrat podvrženi neki diskriminaciji, in prav ta odnos med mauricijskimi oblastmi in prebivalci otoča Chagos predstavi David Vine, ki je politični antropolog in se zadnjih 25 let ukvarja z raziskovanjem tega otoškega prebivalstva.
When the British government, with the help of the Portuguese government, exiled the Chagosians, they deported them to the western Indian Ocean islands of Mauritius and the Seychelles. At the time, Mauritius and the Seychelles, at least initially, were British colonies, and both gained their independence around the time that Chagosians were deported there. Both governments were newly independent, ruling over newly independent nations, very tumultuous time, and often did not treat the Chagosians very well, did not welcome them. Others in Mauritius and the Seychelles also discriminated against Chagosians on a very regular and ugly basis. So there was a strained relationship between Chagosians and many in Mauritius and the Seychelles, including the governments. But over time, those relationships improved, and the Chagosians developed alliances, I would say, with many politicians in both countries. And it was really an alliance between the Chagosians and the government of Mauritius that allowed the government of Mauritius to take a very strong case against the British government to the International Court of Justice, challenging British control over the Chagos Islands. And it's that case, aided by the Chagosians and testimony by Chagosians, which included their expulsion in the story, that led to the International Court of Justice finding that Mauritius is indeed the sovereign over these islands, not the United Kingdom, and ordering the United Kingdom to transfer sovereignty to Mauritius.
Ne samo, da so jih izselili z zlomljenimi rokami in brez finančne kompenzacije, ampak je Združeno kraljestvo prebivalce torej tudi prisilno preselilo v države, ki pa niso bile ravno najbolj sprejemajoče. A so vseeno prebivalci se temu želeli upreti, so zahtevali kakršnokoli kompenzacijo?
Ja, leta 1972 je britanska vlada namenila okoli 650 tisoč funtov za odškodnino 426 družinam, ki so se preselile na Mauricij. Ampak denar je mauricijska vlada dejansko zadrževala do leta 1978. No in potem je britanska vlada po tožbi nekaterih prebivalcev, ki so bili izseljeni, vplačala še okoli 4 milijone funtov v nek skrbniški sklad za te družine. Ampak v bistvu potem je sledilo neko obdobje številnih tožb prebivalcev proti Združenemu kraljestvu in recimo leta 2000 je britansko višje sodišče prebivalcem otoka dovolilo, da se vrne na otoče, že 4 leta kasneje pa jim je potem bilo ponovno prepovedano se vrniti tja. In zdaj nekatere te sodne bitke predstavi Monaghan.
In terms of the Chagossian population, they were sent to live in Mauritius and the Seychelles, and over time a sizable population moved to the UK and lived in a town called Crawley in Sussex, just below London near Gatwick Airport. Now, originally, the first claims in the 1970s was a claim for compensation, for additional compensation. And that was brought in the late 70s by Michael van Kassen. And I think in 1982, a settlement was reached with the British government, whereby compensation, additional compensation, was awarded. Then in the 1990s, a legal action was brought by Mr. Olivier Bancourt. This action challenged the exclusion of the Chagos Islanders from the Chagos Islands. So the High Court in 2000 heard arguments from Mr. Bancourt that the government did not have the power to exile the Chagossians from their homeland. And the High Court ruled that that was correct. The government did not have the power to do this. In response, the then British Foreign Secretary, Robin Cook, announced that the UK government would not be challenging the decision and that the islanders could return home. The big issue is that these islands are in the middle of nowhere. There's a military base, so it's not possible to return to the islands without assistance. In 2004, the British government introduced two new orders in council. So that's law made through the Privy Council. And these orders in council excluded anyone from returning to live on the Chagos Islands. So those two orders in council were challenged by Mr. Bancourt. Mr. Bancourt's legal team won at the High Court. Then when the government appealed, they won at the Court of Appeal. And the government appealed again, and they lost at the House of Lords. So in 2008, the courts in Britain were quite clear that Chagossians did not have a right to return home.
A pa so se do britanskega nadzora nad otočjem opredelile tudi mednarodne institucije?
Ja, meddržavno sodišče se je do tega vprašanja opredelilo leta 2019, ko so ta nadzor britanskih oblasti nad otočjem, to okupacijo de facto, označile za pač nezakonito in generalna skupščina Združenih narodov je potem še istega leta, mislim da maja, sprejela nezavezujočo resolucijo, v kateri so Združeno kraljestvo pozvali, da nadzor v 6 mesecih prepusti Mauriciju. Zdaj Združeno kraljestvo se pač za to ni odločilo, ker pač je bila ta resolucija generalne skupščine nezavezujoča. No, ampak proti resoluciji je poleg Združenega kraljestva glasovalo še pet držav, in sicer Maldivi, Izrael, Združene države Amerike, Mačarska in pa Avstralija. Do odločitev teh dveh institucij pa je prišlo zaradi ustanovitve zaščitenega morskega območja, ki ga je britanska vlada uvedla pri otočju Chagos brez posvetovanja z Mauricijem, in mislim, uvedla ga je pa leta 2010, in zaradi te uvedbe takšnega območja se je v arhipelagu se ne bi smelo ribariti, pač ne bi se smelo pridobivati nekaterih surovin, kar pa je poseglo v pravico Mauricija do ribarjenja na tem območju. In več o tem zaščitenem morskem območju pove Monahan.
In 2010, the British government created the world's then largest marine protected area around the Chagos Islands. So from an environmental viewpoint, this is fantastic because you're having essentially a wildlife protected area with no fishing, no interference, and you're protecting the wildlife and the oceans. Now, under the terms of the Lancaster House Agreement between Mauritius and the UK, Mauritius had fishing rights and, I believe, mineral rights around the Chagos Islands. The Marine Protected Area prevented these from being exercised. Mauritius was not consulted, wasn't asked to approve the MPA, the Marine Protected Area, and at that stage, Mauritius then began legal proceedings through international courts. And this culminated in Mauritius being able to ask the United Nations Court, the International Court of Justice, for an advisory opinion about the Chagos Islands. So in 2019, the International Court of Justice issued an advisory opinion calling upon the UK to decolonize Mauritius. That is to return the islands to Mauritius and to complete the decolonization of Mauritius.
Kako pa da je do tega dogovora prišlo zdaj, če je sodišče o tem odločalo in presodilo leta 2019?
Zdaj, začetki pogajanj med Mauricijem in Združenim kraljestvom segajo še v bistvu čas prejšnjih konzervativnih vlad, torej pred prihodom trenutne laboristične pod vodstvom Kira Starmerja, ampak ta pogajanja je prekinil zdaj nekdanji zunanji minister in predsednik vlade David Cameron. Kako pa so se ta pogajanja razvijala pod Starmerjem, pa pojasni sogovornik.
The UK had a general election in July 24, and Keir Starmer came to power, and Keir Starmer's government then resumed negotiations with Mauritius. Starmer appointed Jonathan Powell, who'd been Tony Blair's chief of staff, to lead this. So it's quite clear it's been taken very seriously. So towards the end of 24, it was announced a deal had been agreed with the Mauritian government. However, the Mauritian government then changed with an election, and the new Mauritian government wanted to renegotiate some of the terms of the agreement. And so we're in a position now that an agreement hadn't been reached at the end of 24, early 25, and then we had Donald Trump come to the White House. So Trump's Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, had been quite clear he was not happy with what the UK was doing. There was a lot of uncertainty about whether Trump would kind of stop this. However, a few months ago, the Foreign Secretary David Lammy and Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, went to Washington, and Trump gave approval to the negotiations. And so that's why we're finally having a deal come out now. It's been a long road.
Je pa tudi sam podpis sodišče v bistvu zamaknilo, ne?
Ja, torej sodišče je najprej ob 2 zjutraj odločilo, da se ta dogovor ne sme podpisati zaradi tožbe, ki sta jo vložili dve ženski avtohtoni prebivalki tega otočja Chagos, ampak je bila potem izdana odredba, oziroma po ponovnem zaslišanju je bila izdana odredba, da se ta podpis vseeno lahko izvede. Ampak te dve ženske, ki sta začeli tožbo oziroma sprožili tožbo, sta v pismu pred samo sodbo navedli, da Čagošani, torej prebivalci tega otočja, niso imeli pravice odločati o prihodnosti teh otokov, čeprav so avtohtoni prebivalci otočja. Prav tako so se sklicvali na to, da bi lahko v primeru, da se vrnejo na Maurici, bili soočeni s hudimi ovirami in celo morebitno rasno diskriminacijo. Več pa pove Vajn.
In short, there are a small number of Chagosians who are opposed to the deal. And some parts of the media, especially in the UK, have really been reporting this in a very misleading way, making it sound like many Chagosians or all Chagosians are opposed to the deal. That could not be further from the truth. Some of them are doing this because they have been part of an orchestrated campaign to try to kill this deal and prevent it from being signed, especially right-wing media and some centrist media. But there were a few Chagosians who filed a lawsuit to try to stop the deal from going through. And indeed, a judge briefly put a stop to the deal and then overruled that earlier ruling and said that the deal could go through because the injunction would infringe upon the rights and of the UK government and its interests, which I think in my mind and the minds of many analysts and most importantly in the minds of most Chagosians, they were very pleased to see the deal finally get signed. This is a deal that's been under negotiation for a long time. The negotiations have been a problem as well because Chagosians have been excluded from the negotiations. But again, the majority of Chagosians are celebrating today, even if they also are quite critical of the flaws in the deal, beginning with continuation of the ban on their living in Diego Garcia.
Zdaj pa, da prideva do dejanskega srža, torej te oddaje, kaj ta dogovor dejansko določa?
Torej, Združeno kraljestvo bo od mauricijskih oblasti najemalo ameriško-britansko vojaško bazo na otoku Diego Garcia za v poprečju okoli 120 milijonov evrov letno za naslednjih 99 let. To pa je porazdeljeno na neka časovna obdobja in sicer prva tri leta bo Združeno kraljestvo plačevalo 196 milijonov evrov, na to od tretjega do 14. leta pa 142 milijonov evrov letno. Potem pa se bodo vsa plačila usklajevala na novo glede na inflacijo. Zdaj, ta dogovor določa tudi sklad v vrednosti okoli 47 milijonov evrov za pomoč vsem prebivalcem, ki pa so jih vsem tem času oškodovali in dodatno določa, da se vsi ti prebivalci, ki bi se želeli vrniti na otoče, ne smejo vrniti na največji otok, to je Diego Garcia, kar je tudi ena od napak, ki jo izpostavi David Vajn.
The deal allows Chagosians to go back to all their islands except Diego Garcia. That one exception is the major exception. So the deal prevents Chagosians from going back to the island that where large percentage of the population trace their ancestry, Diego Garcia, which is the only island where the base is located. And this is, it's in violation of international law. It's in violation of United Nations resolution. It's in violation of the International Court of Justice ruling that was the instigation for the treaty that was signed yesterday. So it's a major flaw. And Chagosians, of course, are very upset about this flaw, while also most of them are celebrating the partial victory that getting to go back to all their other islands represents. The other major flaw, as I see it, is that 40 million pounds in compensation for the Chagosians is a very small amount of money for having had their homeland stolen from them and being dumped in exile and living in exile for more than half a century. For a population of around 5, 6, 7,000 people, if you divide the money among them, it would amount to about 4 to maybe 8,000 pounds per person. And, you know, people in the UK who get in car accidents get compensation that is far more than 4 to 8,000 pounds per person. It's a very small amount of money and really, really shameful. So the deal does not prevent Chagossians from continuing to demand proper compensation from both the UK government and the US government. Both governments are responsible for this crime and human rights violation. But the deal as it was signed yesterday really has a major shortcoming in the amount of compensation for a group of people, the Chagossians, who are still, most for the most part, living in pretty extreme poverty.
Zakaj pa se še vedno ustrajajo pri tem, da se folk ne sme, torej avtohtono prebivalstvo v bistvu ne sme naseliti na otoku Diego Garcia?
Zaradi, v bistvu je več pomembnih razlogov, ki jih izpostavljajo vsaj voditelji. No? In sicer prvi je ta strateška lega. Otok Diego Garcia leži, se pravi, kot smo omenili, na pol poti med Indijo in pa Afriko in tudi dokaj blizu pač bližnjega vzhoda in se ves čas omenja to strateško lego, ker dejansko ta vojaška baza, na kateri, mislim, v okviru katere deluje tudi letalska steza in pač letališče, z te letalske steze so bila poslana letala neposredno na misije v Afganistan in v Irak, pa tudi nekatere za nekatere misije v Afriki so bila uporabljena. In prav zato pač se ta otok kar naprej omenja v nekem kontekstu regionalne in pa globalne varnosti in še to dodatno povezano s Kitajsko, ki naj bi kao širila svoj vpliv na Mauriciju in posredno tudi na otočju. Zdaj, Vajn pa pravi, da bi moral nehati govoriti o tem, da je pač ta otok strateško pomemben, zaradi tega, ker je edina njegova pomembnost to, da se izkorišča bazo za to, da začenjajo Združene države Amerike in pa Združeno kraljestvo nove vojne.
The historical record shows the island of Diego Garcia has made it easier for the US, backed by the United Kingdom, to wage catastrophic wars in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and far beyond Yemen, most recently, among others. These islands, it's often claimed that they are critical to defending the United States and the United Kingdom and the globe. And I would demand that anyone who makes such a claim provide some evidence to show how an island thousands upon thousands of miles from the borders of the UK and the US is essential to protecting the security of those nations. The island is not essential to the security of either nation or the globe. In fact, the island, the base, has proven to be a source of tremendous instability and as I referenced before, death. These wars that the US and UK have waged from Diego Garcia have been absolute catastrophes, and having a base on the island has made it easier for irresponsible politicians and other so-called leaders to take the nations of the United States and United Kingdom and other nations into catastrophic wars in the greater Middle East. And that's one of the reasons why people should really stop repeating this claim that this is a strategically important island. It's only strategically important if you want to continue waging endless catastrophic wars.
Ja, se pravi, gremo zdaj narediti še kratek zaključek. V bistvu ta dogovor določa, da se ta neka kolonialna preteklost Združenega kraljestva na tem območju sveta vsaj zaključi s tem, ko bodo oni predali to otoče nazaj v roke Mauricija, ki pa ima neko zgodovino diskriminacije proti temu prebivalstvu, proti prebivalstvu z otoča Chagos, medtem ko se, oziroma Združene države Amerike in Združeno kraljestvo ohranjata neke strateške tako imenovane strateške prednosti na otoku Diego Garcia, ker ohranjajo to bazo, vojaško bazo, ki jo lahko še naprej izkoriščajo za neke neoimperialistične cilje.
Hvala ti, kultivirala pa sva Tim in Živa.
E, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije?
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni vsako počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek. Tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži.